I'm joined by Neil Sammons from Amnesty International. Neil, you've been looking into this horrific video that's just emerged this morning from around the area of Homs, which appears to show the bound and gagged bodies of up to 11 people that have been executed. What have you found out today?
Yes, well, it still remains rather cloudy, the circumstances of this killing, because it appears that it may have been a revenge attack or an attack which was manipulated to look like a revenge attack. So, I mean, initially there was a killing of what was said to be 9 people on a bus in the Marmen area outside Homs, when supposedly, according to contacts who spoke to a couple of women who'd been there, people who were Sunni and or Bedouin had pulled off people from the bus who were Christian and Alawi from those two minorities, and killed 9 of them. Then some hours after that, fairly close by, near the village of Hula, Shabiha, a kind of regime militia group of thugs, really, who generally get around in civilian but sometimes military uniform, supposedly aided by the Mukhabarat, the Syrian intelligence forces, they went into this tissue factory and killed up to 10 or 11 people. And it's apparently their bodies, which are shown in a very gruesome video, which you're referring to, where people are mostly kind of bound and gagged, and it looks as if, you know, a few have been beaten up. One may have had his hand cut off. Some said that the people had been killed by knives, others that they were shot.
And so is this group Sunni?
The people who were killed were apparently all Sunni, yes, from...
And you say this has been made to look like a revenge attack. Is there any evidence that this is sort of somehow being fabricated to look like an escalating sectarian tension?
Yes, well, that's what a number of our contacts who we've worked with for weeks and months and years in some cases have told us, that while understandably, you could probably say that given that the leading heights of the regime are generally Alawi and in charge of the main security forces who are carrying out the worst atrocities, some people from other ethnic groups have been responding to them in with anger. And there's been, a fairly small number of revenge attacks, but supposedly Alawi individuals, not apparently security forces themselves, but apparently they were facilitated. We're not quite sure yet how it was, but I think they went in with Shabiha and Mukhabarat into the factory and then shot people dead with what appears to have been, according to one source, with guns with silencers on, which we would have thought would probably come from the armed forces, again pointing away from it being a civilian revenge attack. But this is what has been reported a lot during the last 7 months or so of the crisis, is that, while we can't discount it being a kind of, in inverted commas, natural response, the regime has been saying for a lot of time that you don't want us to no longer be in control because we're the only people who respect the Christians and the other minorities. And as Bashar al-Assad threatened effectively just over the weekend, that the not only Syria but the region would become Afghanistan or 10 Afghanistans, and I think that's one of their strongest cards at the moment. And a number of people from the minority groups, and particularly the Christians, actually do have some belief in him because of that.
What do you think is going on in Homs at the moment?
Well, it really is difficult, and all of the people we've spoken to today say it has become very ugly, and it has become harder and harder to really know what's happening. So, it's the third largest city. It's got a very strong ethnic mosaic going through it, although, most people are Sunni, but many people, Alawi and others, live in the region. And it had become one of the hearts of the, effectively, the resistance. So thousands of people who have defected from the army have congregated, it appears, in the Homs province. Initially, they were there and in Arrastan, a little bit outside it, and there was a large firefight with the Syrian armed forces about a month ago. Now, we get different figures for how many have left, but most say that perhaps 10 to 15,000 have kept their arms and are using them around the country, primarily to defend civilian areas, it seems. But then there's also a number of other individuals who've managed to get hold of guns one way or the other, or had them originally, and they've also set up some kind of vigilante groups or neighborhood protection groups.
Do you think there is a danger that Syria is drifting into a civil war, as some have claimed?
Yes, there is. It's terrible to say it. I think there's too many forces locally and regionally who are playing a certain role or not playing a certain role to make it an almost inevitable slide. And it's also, you know, as mentioned, it's one of the main cards of the regime, that this is what they will perhaps encourage to happen to make it look as if they can stay in control and they're the best arbiter of an otherwise fairly complicated state. Still, the overwhelming majority of the protesters in the country are staying peaceful, and they're continuing to call Selamiya, Selamiya, you know, we must stay peaceful and all the rest of it. The Syrian National Council is saying that we must, or they must stay unarmed and only use non-violent means. But events such as this over the last day or so, with these kind of killings, do generate all sorts of fears for the way that this could go.
You've been documenting human rights abuses in Syria since the uprising began. What's the importance of a video like this?
Well, I mean, generally the videos which have come out of the country have been extremely important, given that the majority of news media and independent human rights organisations are not allowed into the country, and many people, particularly from the protesting side, have got better and better at documenting abuses, and by stating the date and the location where videos are, you know, are being filmed. And I think that it's really a way, of course, of kind of bringing home to the outside world the gravity of the abuses, which Amnesty International, for example, has been saying as long ago as April that we believe crimes against humanity are taking place, and these kind of killings of civilians, probably with the role of security forces, although it's a little bit less clear in these very videos, just or the video referred to now. Is something which the international community really has to be taking some very strong measure on. It really needs to be referred by the Security Council to the International Criminal Court. It's as serious as that.
These videos, very, very graphic as they are, come with a sort of journalistic health warning that the footage can't be verified. You've spoken to six people about it, you say. Is this close to being verified? Given what it contains looks extremely difficult to fake.
Yes, as you say, I mean, likewise for us, you know, we can't verify it, and we've not spoken to the people who took the video, so we're going on the basis of what a number of generally trusted contacts have been telling us in and outside of Homs. But yeah, like there's the rawness to the video, as people are kind of howling, and a few of them, and talking about, oh my brother, oh my God, you know, look at this, and this is the guns of Bashar which have done that. You know, where's the Arab League? Calls like this are going on as people are kind of fuming and asking questions. How many are there? There's nine. Look at this one as well. And so on. I mean, it looks like a genuine video, but the context and circumstances to the killing remains a mystery. And until organizations such as ourselves and the independent media is allowed to go in and see what's happening, it's going to continue to be very difficult to work out exactly what is going on in places such as Homs.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you, Matt. Take care.